The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. If we're lucky, he'll turn off his camera for a split second, Professor Dave Chow, and show us what his icon is when his camera turned on.
Pleasure to be here, as always. Give me one moment, and I will turn off the camera.
Short round. From Indiana Jones 2?
You got it.
Right.
Sorry.
There's nothing more fun than go to a Zoom meeting and posting that up and just leaving the room and cranking up the volume.
Dave, you got to tell everybody about your big project that you're working on in the great city of Berkeley. The one you messaged me.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm redoing the interior to Omara's on 12 and Coolidge.
Really?
Really?
They had a fire at Mother's Day.
But it's on hold right now, Matt.
Oh, of course it is.
There's insurance issues, you know. But it is strange going in there with all the furniture and everything removed and the ceiling panels gone. It'll be interesting. We'll see what we come up with.
So. One morning I opened my phone up and there was a mysterious picture in Facebook of the interior of Omara's. I'm like, who could this be?
It's me.
You got it. So someone else who got the green shirt memo, Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Howdy.
What's going on, Jim?
Oh, not a whole lot. Running errands, trying to act like I'm doing something so I don't do my homework for the online teaching courses I'm taking.
Let me tell you. So Professor Kendra Evans, who we hope joins us perhaps a little bit later in this broadcast or perhaps another, has mentioned to me, I asked her, what have you learned, Jim, from going through this course? And she goes, the amount of email our students must have gotten from Blackboard last year. Like, that's what she learned.
Yes.
Every single time there's an update, we get a message, right?
Yeah.
A lot of work. A lot of work. And there's nothing like having one of your colleagues grade you. That's all I got to say. So you're just doing the classic 4-weeker, Jim?
Well, I'm starting the classic 4-weeker on Monday.
Okay.
But although we're already getting announcements about it today, but I was taking two other ones about, teaching online asynchronously and synchronously, and I am filled with more information than I will ever be able to wade back out of in order to get this done. Fortunately, Marty Lever made up a cheat sheet of how to put together lectures with PowerPoint slides, Do this and then press this button and then do this and then press this button. So I'm hoping that will help me.
Hey, necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly.
Awesome. I'm continuing in my Brady Bunch here. And next panel, I see Professor Dan Maggio is with us.
Hi, Matt.
What's going on, folks? Dan?
Not much. Wrapping up another busy week. It was a tough day. Lots going on.
Yeah.
Fridays are supposed to be catch-up days. Now I have to catch up for my catch-up day. So.
Sort of like being on a committee to evaluate evaluations. Sometimes it's just the way it works out,
Re-evaluate evaluations.
That's the perfect segue, right, Professor Hill, into your introduction.
How are you?
I hope you're having fun working on this project that we've only had one meeting for, or sort of two, sort of.
There are good people on the committee, so that, Oh, that's right, you're on the committee too.
I knew that joke was coming.
Oh, it's nice working with you again, Matt.
It is. I was about to say the same thing.
You're sweet.
We hope that it will be more successful than the last committee I was on with Professor Stephen Manning, who is next in line. Meetings were great.
The meetings were great, yes.
He's a retiree. Don't remind him.
Hey, come on, Jim. You could have slid out too.
Hey, folks. We're very blessed to have with us here longtime question sender, Kimberly Richards, live from the San Fernando Valley, calling in to ask the professor today. Thanks for coming, Kimberly.
Happy to be here as always.
Oh, so nice to hear that kind of tone of voice.
That was an allusion to the fact that right before we started recording, we were talking about the late George Pickering and that wonderful cackle of a laugh, and then the late Edwin DeWitt's reaction always being, oh, dear. I've been a listener that long. I've enjoyed the show that long that I have many fond memories of Edwin and George. So,
absolutely. You know, it hit me because I knew, of course, you'd be joining us today, Kimberly, that I couldn't say off the top of my head. And at some point, we will find a way to do this proper. This is really more of a discovery. But I believe that we lost our last moderator, Kathy Bush, 10 years ago, this upcoming.
Yep. You know,
yeah, this summer.
Someone to keep in mind during all the craziness of the world in 2020.
That sounds about right, 10 years, because I remember turning on the show that week, and the chimes did not play, and Edwin came on cold.
Yeah.
And the fact that the chimes didn't play and Edwin came on instead of Kathy,
right?
And knowing that Kathy had been off and on because of her treatments, yeah. It's like I immediately was like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew, you know, but you know, I mean, I had my interactions with email with Kathy as I do with Matt in sending questions and the like, and I share your loss because I found her to be such a delightful person.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I know that Kathy would laugh at me making the joke of the thing that I saw on the internet the other day, which was a shelf with books that were labeled with years, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020 volume 1.1, 2020 volume 1.2, 2020, you know, this is the way we're living, you know, these days here. So it's nice.
It's been one of those years.
Yes, it has.
Hey, Matt, were you referring to your Funkin' Wagnall set?
Yeah, something like that, right? One issue at a time. Well, folks, guess what? This is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook or ask your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Just depends on how hardcore you want to get with regard to your privacy. Usually that's where Beth Oljar chimes in. Okay, hello, professors.
Hello. Welcome.
Greetings.
Round two for the current installment to this incredible continuing saga of a Detroit Mercy student, now alumna, and her questions going up against a panel of some apparently educated people at a university in Detroit. Since you recently gone through the first round of my 20 questions, semi-recently, prepare yourselves for another volley of 20 questions plus two more bonus. As with the last time, it's a hodgepodge of different things ranging from history, geography, culinary delights, and the arts. So this time, and hopefully I'm going to make it a little harder than before, here's all the best to you in this next part of my challenge. Respectfully, Natalie Bohe, Detroit Mercy alumna 2011 from Sterling Heights, Michigan. Which restaurant chain was founded by a restaurateur in 1993 who is neither Italian nor Catholic?
Huh?
Which restaurant?
Which restaurant chain?
Olive Garden?
By a famous restaurateur in 1993. The person was neither Italian nor Catholic.
So it's Italian food, obviously, you're talking about. Okay, Olive Garden, Cabrera's. What's another Italian chain?
Carrabba's.
I got an off-the-wall guess.
Go for it, Kimberly.
Knowing what the Pope is called in Italian, Papa John's.
No, that's a good guess, but that's
that is a good guess.
I'm insulted by that.
Come on, Dan, you were also around when you saw that one posting about best Italian food in Royal Oak too, and it listed that one place on 13 and Woodward.
There's no good food. There's no good Italian food in Royal Oak.
I know.
All right. That's not true, but we won't go into it here.
How about a little clue, a little one. When people attended this restaurant, it was exclusively family style. There were no single servings.
Oh,
Buca di Beppo.
But yeah, that's it.
Buca di Beppo, yes. Buca di Beppo.
They're still around.
Absolutely.
There's one Hall Road.
Mm-hmm. Novi?
Sterling Heights.
UK. That's right. So its founder, Phil Roberts, opened the first one in 1993 in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay.
True or false? French President Charles de Gaulle once had a daughter who had Down syndrome with whom he was later buried next to.
True.
Sure. Sounds like a good guy.
Oh, that's true.
It's true. Anne de Gaulle lived with her family until her death from pneumonia at the age of 20 in 1948. Her father, who would entertain her with songs, dances, and pantomimes, said after her death, "Now she's like all the others." That's very touching.
That's nice.
What 1986 song? Ooh, I've never heard this before.
You're in my wheelhouse now.
Oh, here we go.
Junior in college.
Okay.
What 1986 song was temporarily banned from the airwaves immediately after September 11th? 2001. I've not heard this before.
So it's a song from 1986 that was banned after 9/11.
Yeah.
Well, like flying on a jet plane or something like that. I mean,
that's a good guess, but that's not it. Yeah.
I've heard this. I think it's a heavy metal song.
I would call it classic pop. I would call it classic pop.
See, I'm just trying to remember songs that were banned back in the 80s. I remember like Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
But it was banned in 2000.
Right. So I would not be looking for the ban being the key thing here, except for after September 11th.
Huh.
Something about bombs?
Something about falling from the sky?
I think that it's good that you're not able to get this off the top of your head. It means you're not classically bigoted. So it was the Bangles' "Walk Like an Egyptian" was banned. Which is just the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Heard that.
Yeah. I mean, Suzanne Hoffs also makes great videos too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And by the way, Clear Channel. Clearly, according to the backup data here, has in their sort of records when it came back to airplay that during that time frame, this song will not be played because of its questionable lyrics.
Oh, that's a great trivia question.
Yeah, that's weird. That is totally weird.
I gotta look at the lyrics now. I wanna see what's so questionable about it. I mean,
away.
Okay.
Is it a telling statement that when you brought that up, even though it's unrelated, all I could think of was the fact that the BBC refused to play the Sex Pistols "God Save the Queen"?
Well, that's a little less surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
up the line, "All the cops in the donut shop."
Yeah, I just, you can't say donut on the air.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the seven professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
How about this one? Paris, France. It's known for the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame de Paris Cathedral, and of course the Louvre Museum. But you could find this other odd sculpture there in Paris. What shape is the oddest sculpture in Paris, France?
Oddest shape? Mm-hmm. I was thinking like the Gherkin over in London, but...
It's a piece of sculpture, you say?
It's a piece of sculpture. I know that this is, I'm going to regret saying this, but I'll say it anyway. It's a, it's a part of the human body that is a very prominent public sculpture in Paris.
And
I was gonna say ear.
Well, is it like the Statue of Liberty's
nose?
Above or below the waist?
How about, let's see, I'm trying to think. I think I can give you a hint that's really, really over the top.
A foot? Is it a foot?
Very close attention to my window.
A thumb? Thumbs up?
It's a giant thumb.
Huh.
Kind of odd, but there is a thumb. You know,
in Budapest, right at one end of the chain bridge, there is the bust of Ronald Reagan coming up out of the ground with a hand waving.
I think you should make that your screen emoji, whatever it's called.
I think not.
Can you do a little Ronald Reagan there, Jim?
I'm still waiting for RoboCop to show up in Detroit. The joke is so old now, you know?
That's right.
Not even funny anymore.
In 2005, this Ohio nun was shot dead in Brazil while reciting the Beatitudes in front of the people who gunned her down. Who was she?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Sister Targetus?
I remember the story, but...
It was a local connection.
Yeah, I remember the story.
Local connection.
Was it a Sister of Mercy?
No, it says this woman was an environmental activist. She was a member of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur and stood up for the rights of impoverished workers in the Brazilian Amazon basin.
Ooh.
I don't know if I've heard this one before. Yeah, Natalie's coming out swinging here. This is...
Mary Agnes.
I'm giving partial credit.
Uh-oh. Sister something, right?
Sister Mary something.
It reminds me, there was an old Tom Sharp, if you remember that comedian bit, where nuns had, you know, names that reflected the classes they taught.
Yes.
Sister Mary Black.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shop teacher.
If you're going to go down that road, don't forget the Blues Brothers and the Penguin.
Oh, absolutely.
No, this is Sister Dorothy Stang. And the local connection is, does anybody remember Sister Nancy Murray of the Dominican Sisters in Adrian, Michigan?
Hmm.
So she's Bill Murray's sister.
Oh.
And was a good friend of our ex-president, Sister Maureen Fay. And Sister Nancy Murray ended up making a one-woman show about Sister Dorothy Stang. You can look this up.
Wow.
That's your local celebrity connection for the day.
So Maureen Fay met Bill Murray.
At some point, I'm guessing.
So like 2 degrees of separation to Bill. That's great.
And the groundhog. Or what? No, it's not a groundhog.
Was it Heather?
Never mind.
You're thinking Groundhog Day, Heather? Whistlepig Day.
Whistlepig.
I've been reading into a lot of, where I would have been getting ready for the new Ghostbusters movie if they were actually going to release it this summer. And I just got to say that Ghostbusters is in my top three. I mean, I can't, how could it not be? You know what I mean? Like that was
Back to the Future, Home Alone, and Ghostbusters.
That covers all the bases for
those
me.
Those are your top Daddy three?
No, those aren't my top three, but they're really close.
Caddyshack. I throw in Caddyshack for consideration.
Okay, there we go.
Hey, the puppeteer for the Gopher just passed away last week.
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Let's do some math.
Dan?
Particles of human skin do each of us shed per hour?
That's not a fair question for me to answer since I suffer from psoriasis.
Oh, that is not a fair
no.
Not a fair
I'm trying to remember what normal is since I know what abnormal is.
Yeah, square. What are they measuring that in?
Yeah,
volume?
It is particles of skin. So the
particles.
How many particles?
Right.
Per hour?
Per hour. And it says here that it adds up to 1.5 pounds per human per year.
I'll guess 25,000 particles. And is that an hour, you said?
Per hour. So you're a little bit low, Dan. I'll give you one more shot.
I say 50,000.
It's higher than that.
Okay.
Really? 100,000?
It's 600,000 particles per hour. Yeah.
So I wonder what percent that is of the overall particles.
Yeah, good question.
Now, what if you're like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Then what?
You realize you've just depressed me realizing that if that's the norm, when I'm having flare-ups, I'm probably kicking out at least 1.5 million per hour.
Right, to get it to that average.
The question is, where does all that go? So every hour I have 650,000?
Well, your bedroom is usually...
falling on the floor, falling on the bed.
Is it just been a while, Dan? Remember, the major component of dust is human skin.
Yes. There are certain insects that actually thrive on skin flakes.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, like skin flakes.
Mites do.
Sounds like a cereal commercial.
Now I'm going to have to clean my whole house from top to bottom.
Oh, yes. Next question. Hayao Miyazaki, the world-renowned Japanese animator, won an Oscar in 2001 for his film Spirited Away.
Uh-huh.
In the 1980s, he released four of his films. Can you name two of the four films from the 80s?
Professor Chow.
Hold on. What's that one with the delivery service one?
Let's see.
Delivery service?
Oh, yeah, Kiki's Delivery Service. That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it there's something with an underground, like the rumblings or the underlings or something like that? No? Hold on. Oh, boy.
It was the one, I believe it's the very, very large, like bus-sized sort of cat creature is the main character.
Not Totoro or something like
Totoro, that. My neighbor Totoro. Totoro. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
The other two are Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Okay.
And Castle in the Sky.
Castle in the Sky. I still remember. Oh, I saw that at the Maine in Royal Oak. There was hardly anyone there except one. And wouldn't you know it, I was in line to get popcorn. One of the nude models from CCS decided to show up, asked which movie I was going to go see. I said, I'm going to go see this one. Totally empty theater. My wife and I are there. And where does she sit? Right next to me. Why? I didn't plan for a double date with you guys. Oh,
gosh. Incredible. Okay. When was the clothing company Abercrombie and Fitch founded?
82.
Oh, I thought
it was You're going to have to go back quite a bit more.
1885.
1892. I'm giving it to you, Jim. If you can be 7 years, you're in pretty good shape. 1892. Ezra Fitch and David Abercrombie founded Abercrombie & Fitch on June 4th of that year in Manhattan. It's currently, I wonder if this is tongue-in-cheek or not, headquartered in New Albany, Ohio.
That's strange.
Number 10 here, Jack Webb, who is Joe Friday in Dragnet, founded this television production company, which ran from 1951 until his death from a heart attack in 1982. What was it called?
Mark 7.
Mark 7.
Mm-hmm.
The hand with the sledgehammer comes down and clangs it into a.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I watch retro channels enough that I've seen that logo millions of times. So,
Kimberly, I heard somewhere that those are actually his hands.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't confirm or deny that, but I certainly remember it enough to have flashed on it immediately as Matt was reading that.
Clang and then.
Yep.
The clang would be the 7, and then they'd superimpose Mark and Limited above and below it.
Mm.
They spelled out the word Limited, too. They didn't use the LTD abbreviation.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I remember that. I used to catch Dragnet on Nick at Night, you know. Depending on where in the world you live, this sweet ending to a nice meal, even a fancy one, is known by many names. Some people call it Omelette Surprise, Glausophore, Omelette Norvienne, or Omelette Siberienne. What dessert is being referred to?
Alaska?
Yeah, it's Baked Alaska. Yeah.
Oh, Baked Alaska. Huh.
Makes sense. It's topped with meringue, sponge cake, or Christmas pudding and ice cream. One variation popular in Hong Kong is called Flame on the Iceberg. So
until it's outlawed.
Frozen theme, yeah. Mountain Dew, ooh, wonderful, was banned in Japan and the European Union on the account that it contained high fructose corn syrup. True or false?
False. It isn't the sugar, it's another chemical.
I think it's the caffeine count.
Yeah, it was something else. It wasn't the syrup.
It had something to do with, was it like the brominated or the hydrogenated something?
It was the brominated vegetable oil. That's right. So we have time for one more question here before we get to ATP favorites. And this is pretty much the first time we've gone down this route. Natalie has supplied a picture of herself standing next to a famous vocal instrumental music celebrity. And I'm going to put it up to my camera and you have to guess who she's standing next to.
Okay.
She gives
now, see, this question would have never worked before Zoom.
Yes, never.
She says, your hint is the performer wrote and performed the 1997 song, The Mummer's Dance.
So I don't know which one I'm supposed to be looking at.
So Natalie is the dark hair.
Okay.
And the celebrity has the red hair, which she is very well known for.
The Mummer's Dance?
The Mummer's Dance.
It's fuzzy on my screen, but that kind of looks like Tori Amos to me.
It's a little Tori Amos, but that's not who it is. That's a
Fiona
good guess.
Apple?
What was that, Dave?
Fiona Apple?
Nope.
She looks Irish.
Oh, absolutely. She was actually born in Manitoba in 1957, once involved in the Stratford Shakespeare Festival, and has her own label called Quinlan Road.
She's a fellow Canadian, too. Oh, shame.
So that's Lorena McKennitt. If you've ever heard her voice, you should go look it up right now. It's pretty spectacular. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm.
So we've reached the point on our show where we do the thing that we do. And going back to our last list from the Burroughs family, we are asked to comment on what has been or what is currently our favorite late night television show.
I don't watch any of the current late night shows, but I am addicted to my 11:30 rerun of Perry Mason on MeTV.
I love it. Good old Perry Mason.
All right, I'll be selfish. Conan O'Brien.
Good old Conan.
Yep. Come on, I have my 2 seconds of fame on his show.
That's right. Dave Chow and the Conan O'Brien connection. I love it.
I don't stay up late enough to watch late night shows, but if I did, I would pick Colbert.
Okay.
Oh, good call.
Heather, what about late night TV for you?
I would watch Colbert right now, but yeah, I have very fond memories of Letterman as well.
Absolutely. I'm afraid that we've reached the end of our time for today, so I will ask all of our panelists to say goodbye. Kimberly.
Arrivederci, Roma.
Steven.
Bye, all. Stay safe.
Heather.
Bye.
Jim.
Sayonara.
Dan.
Goodbye.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of, frankly, our homes. It's produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.